And I'm still reciting what I learned as a child from my grandfather. Because a lot of times we complain about a lot of things, and you don't have to look for things to complain about. They're out there. We could just go on forever about complaining. Things aren't like we'd like them to be. But rather than dwelling on those negative things, my grandfather taught me and taught all of us in the family to thank God that things were as well with us as they are. The pandemic has been really awful, but we're still here. We that are here didn't die. A lot of people got sick. Well, you may have lost loved ones. But see, God's good to us. God has given us a nation where we can have the freedom. Many nations have never had that freedom. God has given it to us. So let's talk a little bit about more and more we need to appreciate and be thankful. God blesses a nation and the people for a lot of reasons. He tells us in his word what these reasons are. One of the primary ones, I believe, is when you and I show thankfulness, not only just with our mouth, but from the innermost part of our being, we are thankful, we appreciate the goodness of God and all the things that he has given us. The second one I believe he blesses us for, above most things, is faithfulness. Faithfulness to do what he expects us to do. So let's look, first of all, this morning at the freedom and the independence God has given us. And we realize that on that day in 1776, on this day, July the 4th, the Declaration of Independence was discussed, and it was read, and it was agreed to by the Second Congress of the United States. And let me just read a part of it. We're going to read the text of this Declaration of Independence in part. The text says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." And skipping on down in it. "We, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America in General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for rectitude of our intentions, do, in the name and by authority of the good people of these colonies, solemnly publish and declare that these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states, that they are absolved from all allegiance to the British Crown, and that all political connections between them and the state of Great Britain is, and ought to be, totally dissolved, and that as free and independent states, they have full power to levy war, conduct peace, contract alliance, establish commerce, and to do all other acts and things which independent states may of right do. And for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, and mutually pledge to each other, our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor." See how they framed in there the Creator, the Supreme Judge? We want to talk about this morning, but I want to look at one word in there. It's not a word that we use all that often. The word, he said, rectitude. They framed this word and they said, the assembled appealing to the Supreme Judge, that would be God, of the world for the rectitude, that is the correctness, the integrity, the rightness, the righteousness. They have appealed to him, and they have declared it to him and to a nation. I want to look at three things this morning quickly about you and I, how we ought more and more to be appreciative and show appreciation to God. First of all, let's look at the fact that there is a governing factor for the state of any nation. What are the governing factors? What are those factors, those two factors, that God has declared in his word about a nation? Let's read them together. And we wonder sometimes, and we give great appeal to this, and we thank God for it, that he has blessed America like no other nation for these 245 years since the Declaration of Independence was signed. How he has blessed us. Well, the reason is, he already told us in his word what he would do and what he wouldn't do. Let's read it together in Psalms 33:15. The first governing factor for the state of a nation is a desire to honor and to look to God for all things, and that's the state of a nation. If we want to receive, any nation wants to receive God's blessings, they have to declare, they have to make a declaration in their heart, from the, not just in lips, but from the bottom of their heart, to maintain and to do. Look what he says about this desire to honor and follow God. And that's when we will receive God's blessings. And the reason we as Americans are receiving these is outlined in Psalms 33:11. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. So no doubt when those colonies and when those people were assembled in the hall, the Constitutional Hall, Declaration Hall, we call it, of Independence in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania that day, the Bible says that God was overshadowing, he was looking, and they wrote in this declaration and later in the Constitution about honoring God, about letting the nation honor God. They even asked in particular that the great God of the universe, of the world, would bless and he would honor and let them honor him. And so the text tells us, if a nation, 245 years, God has honored our nation and will continue doing so if we honor him. Look at the verse again, verse 12. Blessed is a nation. The blessed is from him. It's not how many tanks we have, how many aircraft carriers we have, how many airplanes we have, how mighty we are as a nation. The blessings of God comes on a nation when they declare and they will proceed to endeavor to put him first in their life, to declare that he is Lord and that we have a Christian nation. Once we do that, God is honored, and he won't change that. But then on the negative side, we're talking about factors, governing factors for God that he has chosen, whether or not a nation is blessed by him. And if we honor him, it will be. But let's look at the second thing. If they make a decision that they want to forget God and no longer want God to rule and reign, and they even attack the people that serve him, listen what he says would happen. We'll find that in Psalms 33:10. Now the Lord's in control. If any blessings comes, it's because of him. And we know what he wants to do. He wants to bless. He wants to bless those that honor him. And he will. Verse 10 says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. Heathen are those people that forget God, don't want to retain God, don't mention God, and hate other people that do. And God says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. All those heathen nations or people in a nation that don't honor God, he calls them heathen. I didn't. And this is what he said he'd do. He'd bring them to naught. That means nothing, big zero, because there's no blessings going to flow from heaven on them or on their nation if they have counsel in their heart to forget God and not serve him. But he continues. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. Try all you want to. Produce all the atomic bombs you want to. Have all the aircraft you want to. In the end, and any time he deems it necessary to do so, he will bring their counsel to naught, and he'll absolutely nullify all their achievements. And heaven will be brass to them, and they will receive no blessings from God. The two governing factors of any nation. So we thank God that our forefathers have chosen the route of honoring God and putting God in their constitution and their daily lives. They sought him for rightness, for uprightness, for righteousness, for integrity, for the right decisions that they would make. And it is passed down to our generation. If you ever get an opportunity and you're up that way, it'd be worth the trip. I used to have to go to Philadelphia. They were one of our biggest customers, and they were real picky on specifications. So as I would go up there and negotiate in City Hall in Philadelphia, it didn't take but an hour. I'd have the rest of the day to go down to the Penance Hall and search out and take tours in there and read the literature. It's worth a day or days to spend time to see where our founding fathers, and look at the insights, how they studied, showed yourself approved. It's worth your time if you ever get an opportunity to do that. So next, though, not only the governing factors, that God is the governor, right? He's the one that declares whether he's going to add blessings or curses. But our forefathers did, and they had the right in their heart, and they had the decision in their heart that we as a nation will honor God. So let me talk about us giving our gratitude to our forefathers. We wasn't around, any of us, in 1776 when our forefathers made that decree and sought God's counsel, and God gave them the framework, God gave them the place, God gave them everything. But you see, it's been carried down, because any nation that leaves that principle, and all these years, for the most part, and God's the one that's the referee, he's the one that's governing, and he has had men and women, boys and girls, to train others, to teach others what God has said in his word, and we are a continuation of that. If you and I determine in our heart that, as Joshua did, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'll admit it's difficult sometimes to serve the Lord and the fact of all the other people that aren't, but God even adds more of his blessings on the people that will strive to keep that integrity, that honesty, that decision in their heart. We're going to honor God. Don't care what the rest of them do, we're going to honor God. So we have our gratitude, our thanks, our appreciation, not just in word, but from our heart. When you're praying, thank God for your forefathers. Many of you know your grandfathers and your uncles and aunts that went off to World War I and World War II, and they fought that America would be free and remain free. We're talking about appreciation to God for all he has done, not only for our forefathers, but to the Lord God. And then we realize that our gratitude, that we show favor and we thank people for serving God. And God thanks people that will serve him. But lastly, and I want to spend quite a bit of time on this, let's look at the fact of gratefulness to God for his amazing grace. That's what it's all about. Our forefathers stood the test of time. They were persecuted. And still, people that serve God are being persecuted. And that's okay. He says in the last days, perilous times will come. And we don't major. I'm not going to major on negative. You can spend the rest of the year majoring on negatives, and we don't have to talk much about how our nation is sliding, drifting, trying to put God apart. And we've already heard the nation that forgets God. Many in their nation are forgetting God purposely. They're trying to undermine and destroy the foundations, and they're trying to put a ridicule and hurt upon those people that want to stand on the foundation. We don't have to talk much about that because we're all familiar with it. It wouldn't do us a lot of good to talk. We know that many are trying to deceive and trying to tear down. And God will have to take care of that. You and I can't. All we have to do is do our part. That's all God expects, see, for you and me and all his people to stand firm, to hold up the banner, to declare that God is perfect. God is the God that loves us. All the freedom we have, God gave it. We need to show appreciation. So let's spend some time on showing ourselves how we ought to be grateful to him for his amazing, marvelous grace. Let's turn the Bible, please, to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 5 and verse 2. The more I read and study Peter's writings, the more I'm impressed with him. Because he did wrong, and we could perhaps write books about how we've done wrong. But once God forgave him, he stood straight, he stood tall. God used him mightily. Let's look at these verses. How he shows us how to have gratitude and show favor to God for his marvelous, marvelous grace. He mentions that. Let's start reading at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. These are instructions for pastors, for leaders, for teachers, for parents. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. His alerting us and letting us know that we have a responsibility. We talked about giving gratitude our forefathers, but now he says we got to carry that on. You see, if our forefathers in the last generation had not stood, had not been willing to fight, had not been willing to carry on in the face of opposition, it would have been awful hard for us to be in the position we are today. Well, look at it this way. If God tarries his coming, there's another generation. There's another generation. Maybe all of them aren't even born yet. And it's our job to do what Peter is telling us to do. Read it again. Feed the flock of God. What are we going to feed them? Garbage? We could talk all we could about how awful it is. That doesn't increase anything. It just lets us know how important it is to feed the flock. We feed through the precious word of God. What thus saith the Lord, what he has already determined. Let me read a verse of scripture in Genesis 12, verse 3. I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. He's talking about Israel. We read on the news and we see the highlights today how Israel, God's choice nation, is being persecuted by our nation. And God's already told us again, a nation that forgets God, he'll cast down and no blessing is going to flow. And that is a governing factor, but another governing factor that he has is how we as a nation treat his nation Israel. He says, I will bless those. If America, and look at it, in 1948, how God has blessed America, because America was a nation that stood tall and made it possible through God's help, of course, to let Israel become a nation again. No other nation would do it. Of course, it wasn't time for them to do it. God's time is perfect. But God chose a nation, America, that was founded on the principles of God's word that stood true all these years, for the most part. And I know we've had leaders and still have leaders in Congress and others that defy that and don't like that. We can't do a thing about it except pray and seek God's faith. But as long as our nation will favor Israel, God will add blessings to America, and God keeps the books. And when a nation blesses what God told us to pray for and to have, God adds blessings. He's rich and increased with goods and wanting to bless a nation, the people, that will declare and follow him. And we need to show appreciation and gratitude and thankfulness for the good grace of God that has enabled our nation to be one that has stood by Israel's side. And as long as we do, he'll bless us. But the day that we don't, the text says in Genesis, I will curse him. Any person in any kind of right mind whatsoever would not want God's curse upon them. It's so clear, so evident. But that's exactly what it's going to do, because these infidels that God calls infidels and strangers to come, they don't even believe God's word. So show it to them, and they'll say, they don't believe that. Well, God's true. Every man's a liar, but God be true. And you can't convince them, nor should we be in the position to try to. But one thing we can do, he's talking in Peter chapter 5, verse 2 through 11, what we can do. We can't control what others do. We can pray for them. Pray for those that despitefully use you. God will add blessings to your life if you do that. Let's continue. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 through 13. Verse 3, neither is being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. As pastor, I'm as try to be as far a thing from a dictator. I know pastor has certain roles, certain rules, and certain strengths, and certain responsibility, and certain abilities that the church has in place in. But I detest. I cannot be around. I can't let my mind go there to one that wants to dictate and be a dictator. And that's what God said in his word, that we that God has chosen over his flock, we're not lords over God's heritage. We're supposed to be examples to the flock. When you're viewing someone that God has chosen to put in a position, they're to be example. It's not just what I or any other teacher or preacher says. It's the example they display in every walk of their life. It's easy to declare what God says because he has said it in black and white. It's easy. God says this. Well, then I ought to be an example for that. Not as a dictator, not pointing my finger and saying, you will do this. But this is what God says we ought to do. Be an example over God's flock. We're talking about having appreciation and showing favor to God for all the blessings he has given us. Continue reading in verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. See, the Lord Jesus Christ is that chief shepherd. He's soon coming. And when he comes, he's already kept the records. When we stand somewhere in a church, open casket perhaps, maybe by graveside, after we have died and our spirit and our soul has gone on to be with the Lord, no doubt some preacher will stand over individuals like myself or others and say all kind of flowing words, how this and that. It really doesn't matter what a lot of us might say, but he's talking about the chief shepherd. When the chief shepherd shall appear, and he's coming, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. How's that crown going to be achieved? By being an example to others. By honoring the God of grace, the God of comfort. By putting him first in their life. And by loving people. And letting people know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, not just in word, but in deed only. Verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourself unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. we're talking about magnifying and giving thanks for the grace of God. And we just read how and when he gives grace. He's got plenty to give. His amazing grace he gives. Not because we deserve it, but when we obey his word. And here's we talk about the elders. Now let's talk about the younger people. Younger people are to look up to God first of all, and then they're supposed to look to those people that he has furnished as an example. Read the last of that verse again, and clothe with humility. God hates pride. God hates haughty spirits. But when we, as a person, as a church, even as a nation, would show humility and brokenness, God loves a broken spirit. And a broken spirit, that we look at the sins of the world and it breaks your heart. And we look at our own sin and we repent of our sins. And we're humble before God. Not lifted up in pride, but we're to be humble and we're supposed to be humility. All the life, all the days of our life, we show thankfulness and humility for the favor of God. Look what it says in verse 10. How do we do that? Humble yourselves. God can send a lot of things my way and your way to cause us to be humble. I've seen people, and you have too. It's all lifted up in pride. Kind of their head stuck in the air, and they thought they've arrived. Truth is, they probably haven't got started yet. But God sends something in their life, whatever he chooses to send, to cause them to be humble, to lower their heads, and realize that it's he that gives blessings. He wants to give blessings. If we follow his precepts, if we're an example to others as he wants us to be. But when we refuse and we go our way, he will send something. He knows what to do, how to do, when to do, to cause us to be humble. So he says, humble yourselves. A lot better if we learn to do that, because he will make us humble. He will do something in their life to cause us to bow our head, and then we'll look back at yesteryear and we'll say, why did I not learn this years ago? How beautiful it is to be humble before a mighty God. Not to be lifted up in pride. Not to try to say great swelling words to impress somebody. Just to be who God called us to be. But you see, we can do it ourselves. We don't have to wait for his hand to come upon us to chastise us. He tells us we have the ability right now, each one of us, to humble ourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. If there's any exaltation, he will be the one that does it. If there's any lifting up, if there's any blessing sent your way and mine, it comes from him. We just read, when he does it, how he does it. When we're willing to submit ourselves before a loving God, just as we are, confess our faults, and be willing and just in all of our dealings to be an example like he wants us to be, and to be faithful, and to show kindness, and to be able to give him thanks and appreciation. For everything, I didn't say appreciation when things are good. Even the heathen can do that. They can be thankful some way that, boy, I've got this, I've got that. So, you know, they may not thank him, but they're thankful that they've got it. But when we realize that any good and perfect gift comes from the Father above, and we know how to get it, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Peter is telling us in this text how to be grateful for the grace of God, for the favor of God on their lives. Verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. We've got worries, we've got frets, we've got things we don't understand, we go through. And sometimes we wallow in those. We wallow in their fear and their anxiety. But he tells us, if we're willing to take that step of faith and all the things, unknowns that we don't know anything about, all our cares, all our worries, he says, cheerfully, casting all of your care upon him. Can you do that? He said we could. Why? For he careth for you. Think of it this way. We know maybe halfway or maybe 10% of the problems we go through. We try to analyze them. We try to understand why they're here. And we really spend a lot of time trying to solve them. Most of them we can't. But he said if we just cast it all on him. How you do that? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Show appreciation. Show thankfulness. Show humility. And then when the troubles come, and they will, just give them all to him, knowing in your heart that the faith that we have is of him, from him, and because of him. And he cares for us, and we can just give it to the Lord. I got a lot of problems that take me 2 or 3 months to tell you about them. But God has taught me one thing in his word. If I never learn anything else, that I don't worry about the unknown. Ask my wife. If he tells me what to do, I make that decision and I do it. If I know it's from him, I don't worry about it anymore. I don't worry and wonder how it's going to work out. If I know that he said it, I just cast myself into his arms and say, Lord, work it out. I'm willing to do anything, everything, and I will. I'm listening. But I can't go any farther. I'm just casting all my care upon you. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding comes to my heart and life. And it's to tell me that I'm pleased with you, son. Because when we're willing to walk that faith, and say, Lord, oh, I don't understand what's going on in this world. You don't either. So it would worry you if you let it. But he says, cast it all upon me. By faith and humility and humbleness. We got to hurry. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So we're familiar with that. He's a negative. We don't spend a lot of time this morning on negatives. We know all Satan's up to. He's trying to destroy. He's trying to tear down you, your family, your faith in him. He's really trying to tear down America to cause us to not respect and honor Israel, to cause us to forget him. Satan's trying to do that. We're familiar with what Satan's trying to do. He's our adversary. But he tells us what to do about it. It's one thing to know the problem, but I like to know the solutions, don't you? What are you going to do when Satan does all these things? Now remember, he's a roaring lion. He's strong. He said, be vigilant. Resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affection are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We resist Satan and all his temptations and all the things he's trying to destroy in my life and yours. How do we do that? By faith. Because we've already heard and know that he cares for us. He told us we could cast it on him. And when God tells us something so simple, why is it so hard to do what he tells us to do? Cast all your care up. We know to do that. He says, I care for you. And when we're willing to do that by faith, believing what he said, then we ought to be steadfast in that. Knowing the devil is a roaring lion, but if we stand steadfast in him, there's a shield about us. He puts it there, a shield and a buckler. Who? To those that walk uprightly. My job and yours is to learn to walk uprightly. And the shield is there by him. This is an invisible shield. It's over us. It's beside us. It's under us. It surrounds us. And that comes by believing what he's already said. Verse 10. Now he's getting down to our subject. But the God of all grace. We're talking about gratefulness to God for his grace. And now he's saying, but the God of all grace. Can you imagine one person, God of the universe holds everything in his hand. All the grace. That grace is all you need for the journey. It's all you need to overcome temptation. It's all you need to get through the hardships. It's all you need to be able to stand steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because he said, your labor will not be in vain. All grace. The God of all grace, who hath called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. The faith that we have, let you kindly skip over that word, suffer for a while. It used to bother me. I didn't like the suffering part. He said he would establish me, strengthen me, and cause me to stand. Then he said, after you suffer a while. There's something about suffering that he sends our way. Would God send suffering? Oh, yeah. He's a God that knows what it takes to get us to trust him. He's a God that knows what it takes to get us to cast all our cares on him. And sometimes it's through suffering, because that makes us humble. That gives us humility. That gives us the need to know that we can't do it. When doctors say, I can't do it, we know God can. But when there's troubles coming in your family, whatever they are, that God sometimes orchestrates, sends, promotes. But then what he says, after you suffer for a while, he's the one keeping the record. He's the one that knows how much suffering it takes to get you and I established. But he did say, make you perfect, perfect in him. Establish you, strengthen you. Boy, a lot of us need this last clause. Settle you. Going to sleep at night with not a worry in the world. Oh, there's a lot of them out there. But if he establishes you in the faith and he strengthens you, he did say he's a God of all grace. He's got enough to do that. It will settle you. It will help you understand that you're his. He's mine forever. He's in charge. And Peter is teaching us how to be grateful and show gratitude for this marvelous grace. But he continues, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Concluding fact, no glory, no fleshly glory in his sight, but to him in my life and yours be honor and glory. By Savannah, and I believe it's a Silas, a faithful brethren unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this, listen to this, is the true grace of God wherein you stand. When do we understand that it's grace that bought us and grace that taught us and grace that's leading us? After we suffer for a while, when he establishes us, when he settles us, then we realize he's already said, I'm the God of all grace. And then when we experience it, when he equips us with it and he gets us through these trials, we can say, that is true grace. I can't just talk about it anymore. I can't explain it ever, but I've experienced it. It's a true grace of God. And then he says, wherein I stand. Lastly, this blesses me. We live in an unfriendly world. We know America's in the process, as a nation, not individually, because many are getting saved, thank God. Many are growing and getting settled in the faith, true. But as a nation, our nation is on the decline, sliding. And there's an attempt by Satan to cause our nation to forget God. But look what the text says. the church that is in Babylon. This was Assyria. Now, Babylon, we read about how awful it was, and that's where false gods started, you know, building the Tower of Babel. And when you're about Babylon, Assyria, Babylon, you say, boy, if God could do something in that country, he could surely do something in America. That gives me faith. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, hey, God had a church in Babylon that he chose, and he elected. I don't think he'd have any trouble with America, do you? Not if my people, which are called by my name, would humble ourselves, seek his face, repent of our sin, and turn to him. Elected together with you, he puts us, we're in America, one nation under God, indivisible. We're celebrating that today. Declaration of Independence, freedom. The whole title of the message is enjoying freedom, learning to appreciate freedom that God has given us. And not just a freedom as a nation, but freedom in Christ Jesus. That no matter what a nation does and no matter what anyone does, we individually have freedom in Christ Jesus. Sins forgiven, purchased. Come to live in their heart, settle it forever, and we'll get us through this old unfriendly word. We're closing. The church that is in Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you. And so does Marcus, my son. Would you stand, your heads are bowed? Come to the piano, organ, play whatever God puts on your heart. Remember one of the governing circumstances in their life by the nation of that individual. You and I individually would learn to appreciate and to give thanks for things that God has given. Could be better, yes. Could be a lot worse. Let's learn to thank him that things are as well with us as they are. That'll cause us to be humble. That'll cause us to be giving him all the thanks and glory. It'll give us faith. It'll establish you, strengthen you, settle you, and get us through this unfriendly world. Thank God that we can have gratitude for our forefather. God governs the nation and the people by how we submit ourselves to him. Altar's open. You might want to come give him thanks today. It's a good way of showing him that you love him. We got so much to give thanks for.